We're talking about stewardship in this month as we start out a new year. Stewardship involves, as you would already know, no doubt, being in a Bible-believing church, hopefully for a period of time, you would know that it involves our time, being good stewards of time, it involves our talent. A better way to say that would be it involves our gifts, because when they're sanctified to God, they are more than just talent. A lot of people have talent, but they don't make them gifts yielded to the Lord, and they don't use them for that reason. They may use their musical gifts to play in a rock band. To me, that's not a real gift given over to the Lord, not something that would be part of the charisma or the gift that God would give to somebody. But we have different areas. And one of the things that we have to remember is that God owns everything. God owns everything. And God really owns your time. When he gets ready for your time to be up, it'll be up. And you won't change it. Now, I personally believe there are some things you can do to hasten that. You can live out of God's will, and a number of things can happen in your life if you don't do what God says. I don't think it's a predestinated time. I think God knows when you're going to die. But I believe you can die early if you don't do the right things. But all of these things enter into it. God owns our time. God owns everything that we have. If you have a gift tonight, it's not because you're so intellectually great. It's because God gave it to you. Because God let you have it. And so I want to talk tonight just a little bit about our time. How are you using your time or the time that God has given you? And let's look at Romans just a second, chapter 13, just one verse. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, just as a springboard verse tonight, where he gives us this reminder about it. And he says in verse 11, Romans 13, 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we had believed. Our time to meet the Lord is closer probably than we think, either in our own life or in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe Christ could come at any moment. How about you? I really do. I believe that. And when I awaken of a morning, I've tried to discipline my mind and heart to look for the return of Christ. He hadn't come yet today, but he may come tonight. He may come tomorrow. But the Bible reminds us over and over and over to be mindful of our time. To be mindful of the time that God gives us and to use that time for his glory. The dictionary defines it like this: time, the measured period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. The measured period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. Time. You can define it the way you want to define it, but I think we understand what we're talking about. There are some questions we deal with every day in relationship to time. I'm already conscious of that clock right back there. And I'm already conscious that when I walked up to the pulpit, some of you looked at your watch. And you didn't do it on purpose, I'm sure, for me to see it, but you're just reminding me that we know when you started, and I know I've got to quit at 25 minutes and give you 5 minutes for the invitation, or you'll not be happy. Surely you wouldn't be that way, though. Surely not. One or two of you wouldn't. But we always ask this question: what time is it? To you that don't know, it's 23 minutes before I quit preaching. Somewhere along there, all right? 23 minutes before 7 o'clock. We're always wondering what time, because our lives are governed by a clock. They really are. You have to look at it and go by it. and know that time means something, and you got to have the alarm clock, all of these things that are obvious and evident in our lives. Reminds me of the story of the little Catholic boy and the Baptist boy who were good friends, and the little Baptist boy went to the Catholic church, and as they were at the Catholic church, the priest went through all of these different things, you know, the genuflecting. He saw people. What does that mean, he said, and he'd tell him, and he'd see something else, he'd tell him what that meant, so on and so forth. When they went by to get the wafers, he'd tell him what that meant. So he went to the Baptist church with him. That was their agreement. I'll go to the Catholic church, you come and go with me to the Baptist church. And they went to the Baptist church. And the preacher took his watch off and laid it up like that. And he said to the little boy, what does that mean? He said, not a blooming thing. He said, it doesn't mean anything. So that mind doesn't mean anything either sometimes. But our life is governed by a clock. We get up by a clock. I set mine normally for about 5 o'clock. And get up, and then I know how much time I'm going to have. I try to get a cup of coffee, and so I can figure out what my name is. And then after I get that coffee, then by that time, Carolyn, one of Carolyn's many sisters, has called, or our daughter, and I'm glad they communicate. It gives me time to go pray. And then I go and pray, and I know I have some time. But I get up, do all of that, and then come back and maybe she's cooking breakfast and I've got to watch a clock. I know how much time I want to spend. And then I have to spend that time to get dressed, the shower, the whole 9 yards, all of that. Get ready to go to work. How much time it takes to drive from Burleson to here during the weekday. I am amazed. When I first came out here, I could do it in about 15 minutes. Now it's about 25 minutes. And as I said, Brother Rigsby, he can make it quicker than that. But at any rate, it takes a while to get in here. And I know how much time. And I know when I want to be in the office. And I know that I've got so much time I'm going to use to study of the morning. I want to mention this to you, all right, that I do try to use my mornings for study. Now, if it's an emergency, the secretary knows. And she knows how to get my attention, so on and so forth. And if you need to call, it's important, do that. But I really want to use that time not just to chit-chat with people. You know, people call and say, preacher, you're not doing anything, are you? I said, no, I'm sitting at my desk, twiddling my thumbs, just hoping you'd call me. just sitting there bored stiff. I wish somebody'd call me or drop by. But I'm really intensely in studying. In fact, I don't even want anybody out in the hall talking or laughing out there. I sent a memo a while back to some folks and said, look, when you're coming down the hall and you know I'm in my office studying, be quieter. It's like a library because I dig deep and get down in there, and that's not a brag. I mean, that's just my style, and I want to get the goal if it's there and do what God leads me to do in it. But then I get through with that, and then I try to return phone calls and check those emails and all of that stuff and forward those that I don't like to my friends and or put it on Facebook or whatever, check all of that, answer mail, find out what has come in during the morning, all of those different things, and then so much time for the hospital calls, and then coming back and trying to get home at an hour for dinner to have dinner with my wife, and then so much time to take care of business or to return phone calls. Maybe the phone will ring, I've got to go out again, get back a time I hope I can get in bed, and then a time I hope I get to sleep. And then you have your schedule, so similar in many different ways. And then what do you do the next day? Repeat it all over again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday might be a little different, and Sunday might be different too. But we all spend our time one tick at a time, don't we? I mean, that's just the way it is. And God has been so good to give us time, and He gives it to us. We have seconds. Then those seconds turn into minutes, and then those minutes into hours, and then those hours into what we would call days, and then the days into weeks, and then we have the weeks that turn into months, and the months into years, and hopefully we have a lot of years on planet Earth so we can serve the Lord. But God opens up these opportunities for us and gives us all of this time. What's important is not so much time management. We hear a lot of that, and there are a lot of books written about time management. But what's so important to us is not so much time management. You might manage your time wrong. But what's important is life management. Managing our lives, which a lot of that is dictated by time, in order that our lives count while we have time for the glory of God. I want my life to count for my Lord. How about you? I want to use my time for my God. And we have to have life management. I read about a man who was talking. He was on the shortwave radio, and other people would get in on that. They would have sort of like a, instead of Facebook, they'd do it with shortwave radio. And so this man was listening one day to an older guy, not a real old guy, but he's talking to a younger guy. He was talking about how he spent his time on Saturdays and so on and so forth. And this man said, well, let me just tell you something. I hope you'll really use your time well. He said, I used to get up on Saturday morning and take it easy, get a newspaper, lay around a long time, and not do a whole lot of anything. And he said, finally I realized my age, and he calculated his age. And he said, I began to think about how many Saturdays I have left. He was in his 50s, 57, somewhere along there. And you got 52 weeks in a year. And the average lifespan of a man now is 75 years of age. If you're over that, praise the Lord. But in our culture, that's about what it is. You heard him talk about Africa, 40 years. That's unbelievable, the average lifespan, because of all the diseases and all of that kind of thing. But if that be the case, then he figured out he had about 1,000 Saturdays left. And he went out and bought up a bunch of marbles, and he put those marbles in a big jar, and he had another jar over here. And every Saturday, he said, I would put one marble every Saturday over in the other jar. And he said, it began to remind me more and more and more how few marbles I had left. Now, some of us have felt that way at times, haven't we? And I've met a few that I wondered if they even had any marbles. But at any rate, he just kept on doing that and saying, I'm reminded of how many Saturdays, just Saturdays. And he said, boy, it brought me to a consciousness of how I wanted to live my life and to live my life for the Lord. And I want to mention just about three things very quickly. One of them is spend time in serious, underscore and underline that word, Bible study. Spend time in serious Bible study. We are commanded by God in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We need to rightly divide it. There's a lot of wrongly dividing of the word of God out there. We need to know the Word of God so we can handle a Mormon if they come to our door. And don't ever say, God bless you. God said, don't bid them Godspeed or Jehovah's Witness. But we need to know our Bible well enough. If you'll know your Bible well enough, they won't twist you up. You can twist them up. All you got to do is go to the Bible and go down what the Word of God says. But God says, study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're to be a student of the Bible. And I'm telling you, that takes discipline. That takes on purpose planning to put it in your life. And not just leave it in the car all week and take it in and throw it on a shelf somewhere and let it gather dust, but to take that Bible and make it a priority book and lay it on top of all the other books and put it in a very sacred and conspicuous space. And whatever Bible you use to read from, put it there and go to it and read the Bible. How much time do you spend daily reading the Bible? I bet it's not as much as most of us watch television. Now, I say that, I bet, in a casual way. I hope you understand that. I don't wager anything. But I'm just saying that many people do not spend much time in the Word of God. We have hobbies, we have television, we have Wii games, and we have all kinds of entertainment. We have all kinds of activities, sports, you name it. But beloved, we need to find time to read the Word of God. I am so blessed that I don't even have to work, in a sense, when I come to work. I get to study the Word of God. My, that's a great blessing to me. But that's not the only time. I'm studying for messages, but I just need to spend some time on my own in this book and read it and let God talk to me, reading the Word of God. How do you know the will of God? You read the Word of God. And God works along with our prayer lives as we read the Word of God and spend time in the Bible in order to do that. And then secondly, spend time in private prayer. Spend time in private prayer. Again, that takes discipline. Turn to Matthew 6, just a second, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. And look at beginning there around verse 5. We're familiar usually with most people with this passage. But listen to what the Lord says. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's it. They get their reward by being seen of people, if that's a motive for that kind of praying. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, and the closet doesn't mean it has to be a literal closed closet, but it's a place, your place. A quiet place, wherever that place is, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard, shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's a guideline prayer. Doesn't mean you have to recite that one every time. It's all right to do that. But he gives us the principles and the guidelines in that we might have some means and measure of knowing what we should pray about. Now, when you pray, how do you pray? I use a system that is very simple called ACTS. A-C-T-S. You may want to jot it down in front of your Bible. You may already have yours. But I think these four elements should be involved in my prayer life. And the first one is adoration. I love to praise God. And you know what? God likes to be praised. He likes for us to praise Him and to talk about Him. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. The three in one. Give praise unto the blessed Holy Trinity. The thrice holy God. Give Him adoration. He likes that. Give Him time to praise Him. Just love on God. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him that you love Him for who He is. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. That's God. And just pray to God and let Him know, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just talk to Jesus and thank Him. And thank Him that He's at the right hand of the Father. Thank Him He's there making intercession for you when you're talking to Him. And He's always making intercession for us. Thank Him for whatever you can. Just give Him praise as you're doing that. And then another area, as the area that we would give God the confession of our sins. Now, I know you Baptists never sin, but I do. I know that shocks some of you, just terribly so. But we all sin. You say, well, I don't sin. Well, you're calling God a liar. 1 John 1:9 tells us we ought to confess our sins. Why? Because as little children, we have sinned. Now, we shouldn't try to, and there's no excuse for it. And Paul warns us, don't say because we're saved by grace, we can just get out there and do anything we want to do. We Baptists get accused of that. That's not what we believe. If you're saved and you live in sin, God will chasten you. God will take His razor strap out and wear you out if you are really saved. You say, well, I've lived in sin and I have not been chastised. That would scare me to death. If God doesn't chasten you, then you may not be His child. But those whom He knows and loves, He will chastise you. So we need to have a time of confession. Maybe you guys had smarted off to your wife. You just need to get on your knees and in that confession and say, "Dear God, I was a little rough with my wife and talked to her wrongly, and I want to ask you to forgive me." It may be the other way around. It may be the women. It may be the wife that's been a little bit short-tempered and hostile. And she needs, I'm just giving you an illustration. Whatever it may be, it may be that you lost your temper in the traffic again. And you had to say, "Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for getting so impatient," and so on and so forth. You know, I love these women that go to work with a cell phone here, and they're putting lipstick on here. I don't know who's driving the car. I've never figured that out. And they're coming down the interstate at you about 75 miles an hour. And the men are about as bad, amen? Probably worse in some cases. But I'm just saying that we need to spend some time in prayer, and we need to get alone with God. We need to have a quiet time, a place where we get alone with Almighty God and pray. Prayer is so important. And you have to work at it. You have to spend time in Bible study and spend time. God gives us the time. Spend time in Bible study and spend time before Almighty God. So you have in your prayer life adoration and confession, and then I love to give Him thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Christ our Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That is a good formula for it. But give God thanksgiving. Does God bless you every day? Do you have any? Can you ever, at the end of the day or early in the morning, think of something that you need to thank God for? Man, we can, if we just stop momentarily, we can thank God for a lot of things at any time, any point, anywhere. And it doesn't just have to be in the morning. It can be at other times. But I'm talking about a time of your private prayer away from everybody else where you're praying. A, adore Him. C, confess. T, thanksgiving. And then S, supplication. Acts. Supplication. Praying for other people. Do you have a prayer list? We give one out. You may not be able to pray for all of them at that one time, but you can spread it out over the week. Do you have some unsaved people that you're praying for? Loved ones, family? We should all have a most wanted list of people that we really love and want to see saved. And praying for them, praying for others. Parents, praying for your children. And parents especially, if you have teenagers, a lot of supplication. Teens have a rough culture to deal with today. I was reading the other day where the popular drug that's coming up is not going to be some of the things they've been into. It's going to be the prescription drugs that moms and dads have. And that's where the trend is going to go from some of the prognosticators are saying that. But we need to pray. Parents, pray for your children. Best thing you can do for them is pray for them. Among other things, but pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for your students that are away in university or college. Pray that they won't mess their minds up. Amen? Pray for people that you know that are sick. Pray for people that you know their marriages are on the rocks. They're having a problem in their marriage. Pray for people like that. There are all kinds of things. Pray for whatever it may be, but supplication. Going to the Lord in prayer for yourself and for others. Praying for others. Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, at least those elements involved in it. And then the last thing, spend time in quiet meditation. Spend time in quiet meditation. It's hard to find a quiet place these days, isn't it? We've got noise makers just about in every room. All you got to do is punch a button and the noise will be there. We were coming to church tonight. Some guy pulled up beside us in the car, and I thought I was going to lose my hearing before we pulled away from the light. I thought, how does he stand all of that noise? That vehicle was rocking and a rolling and all of that. He had all kinds of woofers and tweeters and peakers and whatever, what all they had. I have no idea what they call them. You young people would know. But I know one thing. It was loud. We need to find a quiet place. a quiet place. Tori sang "Be Still, My Soul." What an appropriate song to go along with this message tonight. And God knew that. Be still, my soul. Sometimes we just need to get quiet before the Lord. Read His Word, pray, get alone. Be quiet before the Lord. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt, and this is a lost art for most Christians, thou shalt meditate therein. Day and night, yes, special times too, quiet times, that thou mayest observe, meditate. Why? Well, here's the answer. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You can brag about meditation and learn a lot, but if you don't do what you learn, you've wasted your time. You can come and sit under my preaching, and I can give you the Bible principles, and if you don't take them and put them into practice, you've wasted your time and mine too. We need to put it into practice, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then, and only then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be prosperous and successful in the right sense, that's not just money, then spend time meditating on the Word of God and spend some time quiet before the Lord. It's not so much, as I said, time management. It is life management. But time is involved in it. How do you use your time? Can you connect what you do with eternal values? Somehow does it connect with heaven, laying up treasures in heaven, and value that is eternally valuable? Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, may I first say that everybody should take time to get saved. You know, it doesn't take long for a person to come to Christ and be born again. Isn't God good to make it simple? The hard part was done by Christ. The message is there. Take time to be saved. Take time to be holy. Repent of our sins and those things in our lives we know do not belong there. How are we spending our time? Could you perhaps improve some of these three areas, or one or more of them, or all three of them that we've mentioned tonight? I have a hunch that most of us probably could. We need to understand that God gives us every day, every tick of the clock, to use for His glory. Father, speak to our hearts. I believe You have through Your Word and the Holy Spirit. If there's someone here tonight that's lost, I pray they would take time to walk the aisle, just a little time, to get the eternal matters, say, of eternal life settled and to be saved. And I pray, dear God, that You would speak to us as Christians, that we may use our time so wisely. For we understand, according to this book, someday, oh, what a sobering day, dear Lord, we're going to give an account of our time and how we used it. In Your very presence, in the presence of Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, help us to use it wisely. In His name we pray.